The Clement Magnatela Show.
Coming to you live from the ANC National Policy Conference.
On 702.
20 minutes after 11 o'clock, I want to bring in my colleagues now. Tsidi Maria, Associate Editor for Politics at EWN, and the Editor-in-Chief at EWN, Sbu Ngalwa, so we can have a chat about what we can expect to come out of this 3 days and what's been happening so far. Lady, gentlemen, thank you so much for being here in this very chilly. And Sbu, we've been here since very early in the morning, so it's been really cold here. You were inside the plenary, Sbu, when President Cyril Ramaphosa arrived. How was he received?
Well, I guess, Clement, I can describe the weather to actually having mirrored his reception. It was quite a muted reception, I must say. The president walked in there and the various delegations continued with their business. And I think what has also stood out is the fact that you had some large sections of the hall where the delegations have not arrived yet. And remember, the president was meant to have spoken at 10 o'clock, but by 11 as he arrived, there's a large chunk of delegates who are still not there. You know, you can take that further to say that it talks to a lack of organization or coherence within the ANC. But I'm not sure, Clement, as we're talking off here, how much of this is also reflective of the national mood. There just seems to be this dampened mood in this conference. It doesn't reflect any other conference of the ANC that I've attended before.
Yeah, we were here in 2017, Tsidi. The mood was quite different. What does this, the way the president was received here, how is this going to influence what we may see happen in December? We've spoken about how, yeah, this is about policy discussions, but much of what will be happening over the next 3 days is there's going to be a barometer for the temperature, the political temperature. And you're going to know at the end of this conference how delegates of the ANC overwhelmingly feel about the leadership of this party.
You know, Clement, they speak of a lull before a storm. I think that's what my reading of this conference is. I think that people are in their corners, people are in their pockets, calculating what needs to happen. People are preparing themselves for a fractious period in the ANC and, unfortunately, by extension, the country, obviously, as the governing party tries to tear itself apart. I think that I've spoken to a couple of ANC leaders who, again, are holding countless meetings. A lot of the leaders across the provinces are in Gauteng. They've held meetings. A lot of them flew out of Gauteng this morning saying, no, we're not going to go to conference. We agree on a lot of issues, but we have sticking points and we're not going to participate in those. Those who are there will communicate what our issues are about some of the sticking points. Of course, I think about things like step aside. I think about the issues around Palapala. Palapala is a shadow that is over this particular conference. In fact, when Sbu speaks about the cold reception towards the president, it also communicates that they don't know what to do with their own president and his silence. And you don't know whether he's going or coming around it. And the people who often are very quick to defend Ramaphosa are also actually in short supply at the moment. Again, it speaks to not knowing what to make of Palapala because he doesn't say anything. Yeah. In the ANC itself, I think about the National Working Committee that said this week, yet again, there was no report on this particular issue where they've asked the ANC leaders to deal with it with some level of urgency. So you don't know what's coming and going. But my reading is we're in the calm before the storm. There is a lull, but that lull, trust me, when nomination processes open, it will be ugly. I can only just see, I'm actually worried about how ugly the fights in the ANC are going to get and that impact on the rest of us in our country.
And that impact has actually also been there over the last, probably the last decade, in fact, over a decade or so. Sbu, at the end of the day, it comes to what policies are working, what policies were adopted, and how far this ANC government is with implementing some of them. I spoke to Mamoloko Kubayi about land expropriation without compensation. She's like, it's not viable. We don't need to change the constitution. I asked her about the nationalization of the Reserve Bank. She says, it's not viable. I asked about the basic income grant. I asked about the state bank. There are many, you could argue, lefties' policies that were adopted that now this leadership is like, actually, those are not practical. How do you think the so-called radical economic transformation faction is going to be reacting to that? Because at the end of the day, those policies are not adopted. And as a leadership, you've got to account as to why you didn't implement those policies as mandated by conference.
I think, Clement, the one other thing that we need to realize about most ANC policy battles is that they've also been modeled around the various factions. You know, you've had the various factions pushing strongly for a particular view. I think I remember 2012 when the Youth League, just before Julius was expelled, were pushing for nationalization of, I think, of mines. And although that did not fly, but also we saw the NGC in 2005, where the President Jacob Zuma was reinstated by that NGC. But I think if you look at some of these policies, some of the policy positions that were taken at the NASREC conference in 2017 actually was a some kind of a policy win for the so-called RET faction. But as to how that played out, obviously, I don't think there was ever any passion of vigor on the part of the winning slate, which is President Ramaphosa, to actually pursue some of those. We saw what happened in Parliament with the plans to amend Section 25 of the Constitution that fell flat. But also, I don't think the ANC has done anything insofar as the nationalization of the Reserve Bank. But I guess at the end of the day, Clement, what does it achieve? What does the nationalization of the Reserve Bank achieve for an ordinary South Africans and South Africans who are buckling under the pressure of a failing economy, growing unemployment and poverty? And I think the reality is that the ANC spends enough time inward looking instead of dealing with the issues that afflict communities. And I think, if anything, people, or what they want to hear out of this is what exactly the ANC is going to tackle the growing levels of poverty and unemployment. So whatever policies that are adopted, that are actually recommended out of this conference, obviously I think that step aside will feature strongly, but I don't think it will be scrapped. But I do believe, though, that all factions of the ANC currently do not want step aside as it stands, because it has implications for far more people, including the president, actually.
Yeah, all of them now are affected by it. So Smoot talks about how in 2017, you could tell the direction the party was headed by looking at the resolutions, right, from the policy conference even already. Tsidi, coming out of this conference, one of the biggest things we're hearing, the buzzwords are to step aside or not to step aside. So based on whatever outcome is going to come out of this, what is that going to tell us about what is likely to come out at conference? So whether they scrap it or they tighten it, whatever decision they take around step aside is going to give us an idea of the political temperature and how people feel about the president and what's likely to happen in December.
Can I just very quickly say, even the fight against step aside is a little bit narrow-minded. It's a little bit pedestrian in approach. More so because they had an electoral committee that they set up that has put guidelines in place which have been adopted, which are very much in line with step aside, Clement. Some people think that they understand that step aside cannot be scrapped, because leaving here, you make recommendations. And so in wanting to remove step aside, if that's the dominant view, it only can actually be dealt with really in December. So they think that they'll open that window by saying, no, let's halt the guidelines. Remember, the NEC's job was to come up with implementation, and that was the guidelines. So if they recommend that strongly, the assumption is that the NEC will go back and say, well, people don't want it, let's halt the guidelines. And they think that will open the door for people like Ismail Khashoggi to come back to the fort. But actually, no, because his future in the NEC will still be dictated to by those guidelines that they've adopted towards nomination processes, which kick off next month. So I think that the turf battles around little things will continue. But I think the bigger picture is, if the focus remains on things like step aside and not the issues that we spoke about with regards to the state of living, the state of our country and where we are going, and the fact that we are plunging deeper and deeper into a crisis, then that tells you whether or not the ANC is fit for purpose. I think that's a question that we as citizens should be having, is, does this party still speak to what we need? Does the status quo still work? And we need to continue with that in mind. They speak a lot about elections almost as an overarching, like far, very far removed issue. But actually, it's a very real issue. And that's part of the battle, by the way. I very quickly need to highlight that part of the battle that you're seeing in the ANC is who should be at the helm to negotiate coalitions. I saw that in Gauteng without question. Some people seem to be more amenable to parties like EFF and assume, based on personal relationships some have with a leader like Julius Malema, they'll be able to negotiate better.
Well, they must ask what happened to Mzwandile Masina.
They never learn. That's the joke for me. I think it's hilarious. I'm like, do you not see it? Because you can make the same assumption this way, Clement, that ANC is following exactly what happens to liberation movements. There's nothing unique about experiences, about what happens when they come into power, the greed that you see, the fight for resources, is not unique in any way. But if you speak to ANC leaders who, if you actually know, think about someone like Gwede Mantashe, they study, they are very invested in reading up on who and what to understand their conditions. However, they still think that they're an exception, which is bizarre. I'm like, but every liberation movement that's come before you has not been an exception. So when you look at them, speak about, yeah, this is the right people to lead us towards a coalition. I'm like, first of all, you've already accepted that you've lost. So you're not even trying to do anything different in how you navigate. The other big thing for me that I need to very quickly highlight is the rise of the youth. The youth leaguers generation that says it's our time to eat. But that for me amplifies the fact that the ANC actually, without saying it well enough, understands that it's over. They understand that the fight for resources is soon coming to an end. It might not be 2024. It might be a little bit further down the line because South Africans still have a sentimental attachment to the party. However, the rise of the youth leaguers based on it's our turn to also have resources tells you something very concerning about the fact that if they feel time is running out, can you imagine the think about the looting we've seen. Can you imagine the spree that will happen in that period of time to the country as they all clamor for resources? So for me, there are all those themes that I've been looking out for about what it means for the way forward beyond just the ANC.
Before we go to the headlines, Asbu, when the president gets on that stage, what does he need to say so that, because Palapala, as you said, Sidi, is hovering around and he's not going to give us the answers now, but surely he needs to say something that shows to the delegates that, listen, we've got this under control. This is not going to affect the ANC that much, and I'm still in charge. In 10 seconds, what do you think he needs to say when he gets on there?
Look, Clement, I don't know if there's anything that he can say that can inspire confidence right now. I think he'll probably continue in the similar line as he did in KZN, where he comes out boldly. I think he's on the back foot. He feels that he's against the ropes and he's fighting back for his political life. So I think we'll have a strong opening statement by the president. Whether it resonates or not, that's another story altogether.
Is it going to resonate? Sbu Ngalwa, thank you so much. Sidi Madia, I appreciate your time.